Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, let me start off this episode by kind of giving you a little bit of a review. Last weekend, had a great time up in Centerton, Arkansas at the Nighthawk Custom Training Academy. And Ben Branham and I got together with John Hottaway, taught Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. And I want to start this podcast by just talking a little bit about that. We had a great class. I had 14 students in the class, and we taught Beyond Concealed Carry, which is that's kind of the signature class that Ben and I teach. But John Hottaway brought a lot to the class as well. He did a really good job of teaching people how to fight if someone is taking a family member hostage. And you know, that was an emotional drill, and it was also a very good educational and skill building drill. I'm telling you what, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, first of all, how would you react if a loved one was being held hostage? How would you react to that? Can you make that shot? You talk about a difficult shot. You can't miss, can you? Have you trained for that? So, you know, I tell you what, the students really got a good education on that. And then we also used some airsoft pistols, and we kind of learned some of the basics of fighting out of a vehicle. In other words, if you're in your car and something happens. And that was an eye-opener as well. A lot of people really, boy, I tell you what, it's amazing how vulnerable you are in your car. People think you're safe in your car. Not necessarily. So John, I want to compliment John. He did a good job with that. And, you know, Ben did his normal great job. Ben's a good instructor, and he did a really good job. And I spent some time with the students teaching, you know, having them hone their moving and shooting skills. And, you know, when we asked students to give us a review, it seemed like what they liked the most was the moving and shooting, the hostage taking, and the vehicle fighting. So I think you're going to see more classes on that and more things coming up on that. But I want to emphasize that you really need to train yourself as to what are you going to do, how are you going to react if someone is held hostage and you got to use your firearm. You know, what if somebody breaks into your home and holds one of your loved ones hostage at gunpoint, for example? Yeah, you talk about some emotions, right? I mean, you know, just me talking about it brings up some emotion. And I'm sure that if you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about one of your loved ones being held hostage, it's probably an emotional thing. So you're going to have to deal with your emotions. You're going to have to deal with your nerves. You're going to have to deal with the stress of that encounter. So all the normal stressors that you're going to have to deal with also come into play. And then you add to that emotion that this is a loved one that this bad guy is holding hostage. And you can't miss. You can't miss or you shoot your loved one. How are you going to live with that? How are you going to live with that? And how are you going to tell your family about that? So, wow. You know, boy, for those of you who didn't come to the class, you missed out. But I'm sure there'll be future opportunities to do this, and we'll probably schedule that again in Centerton, Arkansas at the Nighthawk Custom Training Academy coming up probably again, I would say, in the spring of 2015, but possibly some other stuff this year coming up. So that was, I wanted to give that review, and John Hottaway has a nice facility up there. So check out some of his other classes that he's holding there. Go to NighthawkCustomTraining.com. That's Nighthawk as in the pistol. NighthawkCustomTraining.com. You won't be disappointed going to John's range. Okay, well, that's the review. Now, I have some voicemails. This is going to be a relatively short episode this week because I've been so busy and you know, a few family challenges that I'm dealing with. A lot of you know that there's other family challenges, too, that I'm dealing with, not just trying to beat my cancer, but some additional things, too. So that's been kind of taking up a lot of my time. So I'm kind of lucky just to be able to get this show out. But keep in mind, folks, if you're relatively new to my show, I'm just an everyday guy. I do some firearms training on the side You know, I team up with Ben Branham. I also teach for Suarez International, although I'm kind of on a hiatus right now until I get through my cancer treatments. So really no more classes coming up until I finish all of my chemotherapy and stuff like that. But I'm just a regular guy. That's the way I look at this, and that's what you hear when you listen to this podcast. Is I'm not a gunsmith, or I'm not ex-military or ex-law enforcement. I just kind of tell you how an everyday guy approaches carrying a firearm. I'm just a salesman, right? I'm just a hotel security products sales guy. I've been in sales for 28 years, and just a Yankee with a gun, born in New York City. Raised most of my life up in Wisconsin as a young person, and I've been in the great gun-friendly state of Texas, San Antonio, to be exact, for about the last, been Texas like about 17 years now. So anyway, let's get to the first voicemail.
Hey, Bob, this is Trucker Bob out here in Oregon. Calling to say hey, and thank you again for all your work you're doing, and my continued prayers and thoughts. Hopefully, you're feeling better and getting through this mess. So anyway, listened to your last podcast. Had a voice call about, a follow-up kind of on the officer shooting. And in the gun world and lots of different worlds, we have all these cliches. And nothing I came up with, just coined it. So there is the old cliche of, in a life-threatening situation, we do not rise to our expectation. We fall to our level of training. And there's another one can kind of go two ways, and that is, if you were in the fight of your life right now, do you wish you would have trained harder yesterday? Or if you knew you were going to be in the fight of your life tomorrow, would you train harder today? So, cliches, yeah, but some truths, some wisdoms, absolutely. So you tie that into the officer shooting and the training we do, and we work hard at doing what we do. When you get tunnel vision, auditory exclusion, all of that stuff comes in with the adrenaline dump. We fall to our level of training. So if we've worked on our stance, we've worked on shooting in awkward positions, unconventional positions, and seeing side pictures from our side, upside down, and all the goofy stuff, then, yeah, it's, you fall to that level, so whatever that is. Sometimes we don't see our sights. I'm sure those of us that shot competition for a while, we've seen that. You see the target, you draw out, and you start engaging target. Sometimes you don't always see that sight picture, so that falls into the point shooting. So it gets out further, you got to take your time, see them, so... Anyway, just a little note there. Appreciate the podcast. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Trucker Bob. That was a good voicemail. Very insightful and had some good information in there. One thing that he said that I want to talk about, where he said sometimes you just see the target and you just draw out and, you know, present your gun to the target and you don't always look at your sights and you fire. Be careful if you're at close distance. One of the things that I teach in class is be real careful if you're close distance. And I mean, like, let's say you're a yard or two. You know, let's say you're 3 to 6 feet away from your attacker, which really could be very, very possible. Do you really want to draw and extend your arms all the way out like you are used to doing in competition? Do you really want to do that? I don't think so. I don't think so, because you're getting that gun awful close to the bad guy. And if the bad guy is even somewhat trained in gun takeaways, he's going to snap that gun from you. And now he's got your gun, and that's not a good thing. So think about that. You need to learn how to shoot like from just out of the holster, from retention position. You know, hip shooting. You need to learn that. And if you come to classes, I'll work on that with you. I'll teach you that kind of stuff. Or if you go to other training classes, there's other good training classes out there. They'll teach you that too. When I took that gun takeaway class, let me tell you what. The local Krav Maga school that I went to for a while, that I can't go to now until I'm done with chemotherapy, but I am going to continue going back there after I'm done with chemo. I took a gun takeaway class. It was a 6-week course, and I was there for 5 of the lessons. And let me tell you what, it was a real eye-opener taking a gun takeaway class. a disarming class, because it made me think, wow, the bad guy, if he has a little bit of training, could do this. And if you think bad guys don't train, think again. I'm going to put an article in the show notes for this episode. And you'd be amazed. I'll put a good, credible article in the show notes about how much training bad guys get. They take training. They take training in how to fight. Some of their training comes from the street, from other gang thugs that they hang around. But they train how to fight. And they're ruthless, and they're nasty, and they're full of violence. And a lot of them know what they're doing. So if you don't know what you're doing, just because you have a gun, don't think that your gun is a magic binky that solves all problems. Because it doesn't. You need to have some techniques and some martial fighting techniques to go with it. And those are some of the things that you're going to learn when you come to training classes. All right, let's take the next voicemail.
Hi, this is Shaggy. I'm calling from Muskogee County, Georgia, otherwise known as Columbus, Georgia. Hey, I'm in training to be a deputy sheriff. That is called and wanted to let you know that I really enjoy your podcast. Every single week you've got a pertinent topic to talk about. And I honestly look at your podcast as a training supplement that I get along with my law enforcement training. So I just wanted to give you some encouragement that we here in the South, we really enjoy your podcast and appreciate the effort that you put into it. Have a good one.
Well, hello, Shaggy. Thanks very much for your voicemail over there in Georgia, and thanks for listening to my podcast. I do the best I can every week, Shaggy, and I try to bring listeners excellent information that they can use right away. And if you pick up one or two ideas from listening to my show every week, that's all it takes, is one or two. If you pick up one or two good ideas, techniques, something you didn't know maybe, or even if I reinforce some things that you knew but you need to get back to doing, then I consider my job done well on this podcast. So thanks again, Shaggy. I appreciate that. And, you know, congratulations on being in law enforcement and studying to be a deputy sheriff and learning all that. That's great. That's fantastic. I think that's, you know, that's terrific. You know, I say I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Wish I could carry a cop. And I very much respect police officers. And I respect ex-military personnel. You know, you folks, especially those of you in law enforcement, you know, you basically put your lives on the line every day for us. And it's a tough job, and you don't get paid much, and sometimes you don't get thanked much, and you don't get appreciated enough. So to all law enforcement personnel out there, thank you very much for what you do, and Shaggy, thanks again for calling in that voicemail. Okay, let me shift gears for a minute. If you want to call in a voicemail, the number is 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727, or you can go to the website handgunworld.com. That's handgunworld.com. On the right-hand side of my website, you will see a icon. If you go about scroll about halfway down, you'll see an icon that says call me. And I want you to click that and put in your phone number, and that's an easy way to hook your phone up directly with my voicemail if you don't want to try to memorize a phone number. By the way, if you want to subscribe to email updates, on my website, you'll see that where it says subscribe to email updates. You can get updated every time I put up a new podcast, every time I put up a page on my website, every time I make a modification. So you can basically kind of keep up with what's going on at handgunworld.com. I refer you all the time over there to sign up for classes and things like that. You can keep up with it if you sign up for my email updates. Don't forget about my YouTube channel. Just put a new review of my Desert Eagle 1911 up there on my YouTube channel. Just search Handgun World on YouTube and you will find it. Facebook page. Don't forget to join me on Facebook. Hey, folks, I'd appreciate it if you're going to talk about guns. Do not use the Bob Main Facebook page. Use the Handgun World Facebook page. Just search Handgun World on Facebook and on Twitter. And you'll find both of those, and that's a good way to follow me as well. All right, now, I want to talk about my 1911 versus striker-fired test. I got to give you guys an update. When I was teaching the class up there in Arkansas at Nighthawk Custom Training Academy and I was demoing one of the drills, on Sunday I had switched over to my 1911. I spent I spent Saturday with my instructing with my Glock 19, and then I switched over to my Sig Sauer 1911, the RCS that I have. I missed the thumb safety. I tried to press off around, press the trigger without depressing the thumb safety. So there you go. It can happen. It can happen. Now, why? Well, probably because I'm used to guns without safeties. That's what I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds through. So that's the purpose of this test. The purpose of the test is to see how often that happens and if I can make that stop happening. And if I can't make that stop happening, I don't care how good 1911s are and I don't care how good of a platform they are. If I can't make things like that stop happening, in other words, missing the thumb safety, forgetting to disengage the safety before I press the trigger, things like that, then I'm not going to carry them. So I had one guy email me and say, why are you doing this? You're putting your life on the line for a year. Well, yeah, maybe I am. Guess what? I'm doing it for you, and I'm doing it for my own satisfaction. I want to find out once and for all. I want to try to solve this 1911 versus Glock argument now, or versus striker-fired pistol. Now, the argument that I'm trying to solve, at least for me, is not which one is better. I don't want to get into all that. What's better, 1911 or striker-fired gun? I don't want to get into all that. Okay, because that's nonsense. That's stupid stuff. What I want to get into is, what about switching back and forth between platforms? I know a lot of you who are listening to this, you own guns in several different platforms. You own striker-fired guns. You own hammer-fired double-action, single-action guns. You own 1911s. You own revolvers. You own single-action revolvers and things like that. You know, so I want to try to answer for myself. Can I effectively switch back and forth? I'm thinking about investing in another M&P pistol pretty soon. Probably a full-size M&P that I'm going to use for competition without a safety. And the reason I'm going to do that and switch back or go back to getting to owning an M&P pistol again, and I'm not talking about my Shield. I'm talking about a full-size service-size M&P, is I also want to compare that to the Glock pistols that I'm so familiar with. And I want to do more of a comparison of triggers and the feel of the gun and the ergonomics of it and so forth and kind of see how that works out for me as well. The M&Ps are great guns. So are the XDs. And so are the Rugers. You know, the class up there, the class up in Arkansas, Beyond Concealed and Carry Enhanced, one guy had a Ruger. He had a Ruger SR9C, I believe. Gun was running good. And he had a few issues, and once we kind of got him through some of his issues, he started running the pistol a little bit better. But I was impressed with the pistol itself. It was quite accurate, and it ran very well. So guns like that, they're all great guns, and they're very popular firearms, high-capacity weapons. Normal capacity. Shame on me. Shouldn't talk like that. It's not high capacity. It's normal capacity, right? 15, 17, 18, 19 rounds. That's normal capacity. Is it not? Should be. Should be normal capacity. You know, what's this baloney about 10 rounds? That's ridiculous. That's stupidity. 15 round minimums in rifles and things like that. Just dumb. I mean, it makes no sense at all. I mean, you know, the stupid politicians that put these magazine limits, how do they know? How do they know what we're going to need for self-defense? They can't look into the future and figure out who's going to attack you and when they're going to do it and how they're going to do it and how many of them are going to be there, how many bad guys, and how many rounds you're going to need to dispatch them. They don't know that. It's all about power and control. That's why these politicians do that. It's about power and control. Has nothing to do with guns or anything like that. They just want the power to say, you can only have 10 rounds in your magazine. They don't care whether you can adequately defend yourself with that. They don't care. They don't care if you or a family member dies because you weren't able to carry enough ammunition and some nutbag came into a theater shooting and you didn't have enough ammunition to stop the situation. Right? You all know what I'm referring to, don't you? Right? Crazy people going into a movie theater and shooting in a movie theater that's a gun-free zone. Well, what if you're in a movie theater that's not in a gun-free zone? And you got your gun, but you're limited to 10 rounds. And the bad guy's got an AR-15 with several magazines. These politicians, that's all they want. It's all they want is control. They could give a crap about your safety. And so that's just nutty. So they're good weapons. These are good weapons that hold, you know, anywhere from, I would say, minimum of 10 or 12 all the way up to 20 rounds. I think it doesn't one of the XD pistols hold 19 in the mag or 18 in the mag? So you have like a 19 or 20 round pistol at first before you have to perform a reload. And by the way, you know what? Talking about performing reloads, it reminded me of something. A student in Beyond Concealed and Carry Enhanced last week, up there in Arkansas, he came with a revolver, two revolvers. He had two Ruger GP100s. And Brian, let me give a shout out to Brian. Not going to talk about his last name, but hey, Brian, you can run a revolver. And you can run it very well. Brian was good. He was accurate. He could reload that revolver quickly. He had to reload a lot more often than the students that had semi-autos, but he did a great job. So revolvers are welcome, especially if you can run that revolver. So great job. Brian came to Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced up in Arkansas last weekend with Ben Branham and I and John Hottaway and did a great job with his Ruger GP100. Those are sweet revolvers, too. So I think he was shooting .38 specials out of it. So way to go. All right, just a quick break, and I'll be right back.
Gun control, it's the best thing you can do for crooks and gangsters. I want you to have nothing. If I'm a bad guy, I'm always going to have a gun.
Sammy Gravano, convicted mob assassin.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions, mostly. Some murder, occasional rape. And I'm a huge advocate of gun control, absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt. This is no doubt.
Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
Okay, finally, I want to talk about a new gun coming out. Smith & Wesson has decided, finally, to listen to the marketplace. And I'm very impressed with Smith & Wesson. And they are coming out with an M&P Shield with no thumb safety. That's been my critic of that gun. That's been my critical point. And it's not so much that it has a thumb safety, but it has one that I don't think is easy enough to manipulate. That's been my big problem with the Smith & Wesson Shield. So they're coming out with one, and I want one. And I'm going to get one. So as soon as Smith & Wesson starts shipping those Shield pistols, I'm going to buy a 9mm version without the thumb safety. And that's going to be real cool, because in my opinion, that is one of the top three single stacks on the market, single stack 9mm on the market. And it's a high-quality pistol with great accuracy and, I think, good capacity, especially with the extended magazines, you know, being able to put 8 rounds in those magazines and then one in the chamber. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to try to keep my eyes on it. If any of you find out when Smith & Wesson is actually shipping those, let me know, and I'm going to get one of my local gun dealers to order one of those for me. But I'd strongly recommend, if you're looking for a good single-stack 9mm and you want one without a safety of any kind, in other words, it won't have a grip safety, it won't have a thumb safety, it'll have the safety that's between your ears, which is a safety that it should have, that a defensive gun should have. You keep your booger hook off the bang switch, and it really avoids a whole lot of problems, folks. Good muzzle discipline, muzzle downrange, or don't point your muzzle at anything you don't intend to shoot. Keep the booger hook off the bang switch. And those two right there, ladies and gentlemen, those two right there is pretty much, those are pretty much all the safeties that you need in a defensive pistol. So looking forward to the new Smith & Wesson Shield without safety. Okay, I need to make an announcement wrapping this up. Again, this is a short show, and it's a short episode. I'll have more for you next week. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, on September 27th, for my Houston area listeners, Ben Branham and I were teaching Beyond Concealed Carry in Houston Saturday, September 27th. So go to the website, handgunworld.com, if you want to get signed up for that. That's our signature class, Beyond Concealed Carry. It's getting great reviews. Ben Branham and I will be teaching that. So if you're in Houston, near Houston, or you can get to Houston pretty easily, September the 27th, we will be there. We're going to be doing another night class. We'll be teaching another pistol fighting dynamics at night. Pistol fighting dynamics at night. That's going to come up in November of this year in San Antonio. All right, and hopefully next week I can announce another road class. Waiting on a couple of details, but hopefully I can announce another out of the state of Texas class, Beyond Concealed Carry, out on the road in another location. Not the Seattle class with Glenn Tate, which is sold out, by the way, but another one. But I have to wait one more week before I can announce that. Okay, folks, with all that said, thanks for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. And remember that the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click. Or a click when he's expecting a bang. Talk to you next week. Goodbye. Back.